This morning, please take your Bible and open to the book of Psalms. We're going to look at Psalm 33 and verse number 12. Psalm 33 and verse number 12. This is our text verse for the message this morning. Psalm 33, verse number 12. And in this verse, the Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." I'll read the verse one more time. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can meet together in this place this morning. And thank you for your word and the reminder in this verse that as long as the Lord of heaven, the God of heaven, Jehovah God, is our God, then our nation will be blessed. I know in a lot of ways there seem to be a lot of people who have moved you out of the picture, pushed you aside, really want nothing to do with you. But I do believe, Lord, that there are enough of us here as a faithful remnant that the blessings of God still remain. And we thank you for that. We thank you for our nation. We thank you for our president. We thank you, Lord, for those who watch over us and govern us that way. Give them direction. Give them guidance and wisdom. And please, Lord, bring as many as possible to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. And then help those of us who are here this morning to listen to what we've brought for the message. May it be an encouragement and a blessing. May it strengthen us and help us to love our country and pray for our nation. And I pray, God, that you will bless, please, as we continue this service. We want you to know that we love you. We thank you for all you do for us and for all you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to bring a message this morning, which I have entitled, "When I See Our Flag." When I See Our Flag. And I've chosen that title and this topic today because today is Flag Day. This day comes around every year, of course. Not always on a Sunday, but this year it happens to fall on a Sunday. And being that Flag Day is celebrated today on a Sunday, I thought it would be proper to bring a message about that topic. Flag Day, of course, is celebrated annually on June the 14th. It is to commemorate the Second Continental Congress's adoption of the Stars and Stripes as the official flag of the United States, and this all happened in 1777. It was early in the month of June, 1777, when three men of distinguished bearing visited Betsy Ross at her little upholstering shop at 239 Arch Street in the city of Philadelphia. The tallest and most distinguished of the three was the commander of the Continental Army, George Washington. The second was Colonel George Ross, and the third, Robert Morris, patriot and financier. No doubt it was upon the recommendation of Colonel Ross, uncle to Betsy by her marriage to his nephew, recently deceased, that the pretty widow was chosen to make the first national flag. The selection hardly could have been better, for Betsy was skillful with the needle and endowed with a fine taste for color and design. It may be, as some contend, that the basic idea of the Stars and Stripes and the colors red, white, and blue was suggested by George Washington. The complete design was quite probably roughed out at the historic visit to the little shop, although Betsy is said to have related that the five-pointed star was her own idea, the original idea being a six-pointed star, which Washington thought was easier to make. Betsy seems to have won her preference by folding a piece of paper in a certain manner, and after one clip of the scissors, unfolded a perfect five-pointed star. with the assistance of two fair friends and the loan of a Navy flag to see how it was hemmed, Betsy was able to deliver the first national flag to Colonel Ross on the following day. Our first national flag had 13 stripes, alternate red and white, and 13 white stars on a blue field. Mrs. Ross's work met such approval that she received a contract to furnish all the flags for the government. After her death in 1836, the business was carried on for 20 years by her daughter. There was no change in the number of stars or stripes from the adoption of the original design until 1794, when Congress, in recognition of the admission of Vermont and Kentucky, voted to add two stripes and two stars, one for each of the new states, to take effect May 1st, 1795. This new flag, with 15 stripes and 15 stars, remained unchanged until 1818. More states were being added, and Congress, on April 18th of that year, voted that the flag should contain 13 alternate red and white stripes representing the original 13 states, and that a star for each state should be added on July 4th following its admission. This procedure was followed until 48 states were admitted to the Union. The flag remained with 48 stars and 13 stripes until after Alaska in 1958 and Hawaii in 1959 were admitted to the Union. The current flag has 50 stars and 13 stripes. The Betsy Ross house, in which the seamstress fashioned the first stars and stripes, still stands at 239 Arch Street in Philadelphia, around the corner from Old Christ Church, where George Washington worshiped. The house is now a national shrine and is visited each year as a point of historic interest. Well, that's a little bit of the history of our flag. And today, of course, being Flag Day, I thought it would be appropriate to bring a message which I've entitled, When I See Our Flag. And I want to bring to you just a few very simple thoughts that come to mind for me each time I look upon our flag. The very first thought that I want to bring to your attention this morning is this: when I see our flag, I think of America. I think, I'm pretty sure this is true, that all around the world, when people of any nation see the flag of the United States of America, they have no doubt what country that belongs to. The stars and stripes, with those 13 alternating red and white stripes and those 50 stars. And I don't know what you think, but I love to see those flags flying from the top of a staff, especially from businesses in different places. The bigger, the better. It's so majestic to see it flying and the wind waving the flag as you drive through different areas and you see them. But I think everyone in whatever country they live, when they see that flag, they know what country that represents. When our soldiers are going off into battle and they fly that flag on ships, or you see it maybe on the side of a plane, or sometimes it might be on a staff being led into battle, everyone knows what country that represents. There's no doubt whatsoever. And for a lot of us, and I would be one of these, it causes a sense of pride, in a good sense, hopefully not a sinful sense, but in a good sense, pride that I am an American. I belong in that country. And so that flag, to me, I think of right away, I think of America. And I think people all around the world, when they see that flag, they know it represents America. And I think all of us are aware of this also, that there are people all around the world that would love to be a part of this nation. One of the things that happened, in fact, it's happened throughout many administrations, But one of the things that happened in the last administration is that people were coming in by the hundreds and thousands. And I don't know how you feel. This is me. I don't mind people coming as long as they come legally. There is a legal way to come. And of course, many of our forefathers came from other places, but they came legally, and there is, again, a proper way to be here. But in the past administration, hundreds and thousands of people came in illegally, and they came because they know the promise of America. They know about the liberties and freedoms. They know about the ability. We take so much for granted. Later this year, my wife and I plan to take a trip back down into Texas. In the month of September, we'll take a vacation together, and we're going to go visit some places that we'd been before that we've really enjoyed. And you won't think about this often enough, but you realize that you can travel from Wisconsin all the way down into Texas, and you don't have to worry about being stopped along the way because somebody wants to see your papers. You can cross state borders in complete freedom and liberty. And you can stop and get gas or stop and get a soda or lunch or whatever you want. All stop and see historic sites along the way. I mean, complete liberty and freedom to be able to do that. Not only on a vacation, but to live anywhere in the United States that you want to live. You don't have to get permission from the government to do that. If you want to move from here, as we had some folks move out to Idaho, you remember this? Man, I wish that family was still here, but several members of the Lewis family moved out to Idaho, and there's some others that are going to move. They're having a house built out there. And anyway, but you have the complete liberty and freedom to do that. In my lifetime, I've lived in several different states. I came back to Wisconsin because this is my home, and this is where most of my family and friends are. I know many more people in Wisconsin than I do in any other state, but I know people in many states, as many of you do know people in other states as well. But you can live wherever you want, pretty much. I mean, we have such liberties and freedoms. And then, of course, you think about our Constitution, and you think about the Bill of Rights, and you think about even the freedom to come and worship like we are here this morning. I don't know about you, but I wasn't concerned and still am not concerned about the police coming in and arresting us because we've gathered to worship here today. America has a lot of liberties and freedoms, and I'll talk about some more of those in just a moment. But when I see the flag, I think about all these things, and here's my opinion again. I feel blessed. I feel blessed to have been born here. I feel blessed to have lived here my entire life. Even when I served in the military for just over 3 years, they didn't ship me overseas. I was lucky enough, blessed enough, to just stay right here in the United States. Many people that serve in the military have to serve in Korea or Germany or, you know, some other place. Many of our soldiers right now are in harm's way because of the war with Iran, and Iran is bombing different countries where the United States has military bases, and our soldiers are in danger because of that. I didn't have to face that. We know that there are individuals who are connected with our church and outside of our church who have had to go into battle and serve in horrible situations, and memories still haunt them to this very day. I didn't have to do that. I'm very thankful for that. I feel blessed because of that. If I would have been asked to do that, I would have. I did serve during the Vietnam War era, and so I'm considered a Vietnam era veteran, but I didn't have to go to Vietnam, and I'm thankful for that. I'm sure I've told my wife, and she's told me the same because she served in that same time period, how thankful we both are that neither one of us had to go to Vietnam. And I realize, too, that America has problems. I know that we're very divided today. I know that there's a lot of hate. I know that there's a lot of violence. I know that there's just a lot of corruption. I know there's a lot of evil. I know there's a lot of things that you and I disagree with that are still happening in our land, and we wish someone would do something about it. But with all that put together, I'm speaking now for myself, I would rather live here than anywhere else. And that flag behind me represents that to me. Outside the parsonage right now, and I don't know what the breeze has done to it because it tends to wrap the flag around its pole. But I, early this morning, set my flag out on its mount because it's Flag Day. I try to put the flag out there on patriotic days, and this is one of them. That's why I'm wearing the tie that I'm wearing. And I notice several, the rest of you are wearing patriotic things also. But when I see the flag, number one, I think about America and how blessed I am to have been born here and to live here. Right on the heels of that, of course, when I see our flag, I also think of not only America, but then the liberties and freedoms that America provides to me. Before the service started, I took a little time in my office and I pulled out my copy of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and just glanced through it quickly to remind myself of some of those liberties and freedoms that we have. I think a lot of us are aware of the fact that there are some folks in government and folks not in government who would like to do away with our Constitution. They consider it to be antiquated and outdated. And, for them, I think, this is my opinion, it stands in the way of their agenda. I appreciate our Constitution and the Bill of Rights and all the amendments that are attached to our Constitution. And some of those founding documents that our founding fathers gave us, you know, many of those men were God-fearing men who trusted God and allowed God to lead them and guide them. And they were used of the Lord to bring about this nation that we live in today. With all of the liberties and freedoms, I talked about the freedom to go from state to state and live wherever you want and come to worship. And, you know, the freedom of speech, the freedom of the press, the freedom of religion, the freedom of you're entitled to I wish this was actually happening, but a speedy trial. Well, we don't want to get bogged down, do we? But I was just looking through some of the Constitution and some of the Bill of Rights, and you have the right to have bear arms. You have the right to being protected from unlawful search and seizure. I mean, there's so many things that are given to us as liberties and freedoms here in America. And please don't miss this, friend. Many, many other countries in the world don't have one-tenth of the liberties and freedoms that we have here. Many of them. Many of them. They don't have the liberties and freedoms that we enjoy. And I've thought this often, and I've said it, I think, from this pulpit a time or two. I don't mind saying it even this morning. If you don't like it here, go somewhere else. You think it's better somewhere else? Then go there. It's always amazing to me, the people that are for, I'll just mention this, LGBTQ rights, and they're also standing up for the Palestinians. Do they not realize that if you were in a Palestinian country, they would execute you for being a part of the LGBTQ movement? You're allowed to do that here because we have liberties and freedoms. I'm not for that lifestyle. I would never stand up for that lifestyle. I think, according to God's word, it's wickedness and evil. But in America, people have a right to live that way and to speak up for it. And, you know, homosexual marriage and, you know, just so many different things that we may not agree with, but because we have liberties and freedoms, it can happen here, and in many other places of the world, it can't. There are many, many places in the world today when you can't gather like this to have a worship service. You have to do it in secret. You have to do it out in the woods somewhere or in a cave somewhere. You can't enjoy what we have here in many, many places of the world. You don't have, you know, in many places of the world, they control what you put on the internet and in social media. You have liberty and freedom to put, excuse me, but all kinds of garbage out there, and nobody will, you know, arrest you for it. It's liberty, it's freedom. And it's because of the Constitution and because of the Bill of Rights and because of our founding fathers and because those liberties and freedoms are granted to us, listen, not by our government, but by God. The liberties and freedoms we have are not given to us by our government. They're given to us by our God. But because we have those, we are able to live and do pretty much whatever we please. I realize there are boundaries, and that's why we have laws. And that's why we have police force, and that's why we have, you know, punishment for wrongdoers and so forth. But I want to encourage all of us to appreciate what we have and also encourage all of us to carefully guard and protect those liberties and freedoms that we enjoy, because if you don't, you can lose them just that quick. Again, when I see our flag, I think of America. I think, secondly, of our liberty and freedoms that we enjoy. But number three, when I see our flag, I also think about sacrifice. Not many weeks ago, we had Memorial Day weekend. And on that weekend, I brought a message, and we sang patriotic songs, and we did the pledge to our flag, and tried to remind us all about the thousands and hundreds of thousands, yea, millions of men and women who have sacrificed their lives for our liberties and freedoms. And I say this not just because I'm a veteran, but because I believe in America, and I believe also in the sacrifice that men and women have given for our nation. We must never forget the great sacrifice that was paid for our liberties and freedoms. Let's take it back. Let's go back in our minds. And you know the stories. But go back to our founding fathers. When those founding fathers signed the Declaration of Independence, they were literally pledging their lives and their liberties and their goods and all that they owned. They were pledging that, and many of them lost their lives and their goods and so forth, lost those things because of what they stood for and what they tried to bring about here. They sacrificed a great deal. I like history, so I like reading about stuff like this and watching videos about stuff like this. And one of the videos that came out recently that was put out by Sight and Sound Theater had to do with the revivals that took place many years ago. And Benjamin Franklin was in there, and Thomas Jefferson and some others. Boy, it's a little over 2 hours long, and I'm really considering purchasing that on DVD and showing it here. It is wonderful. I mean, it's very patriotic. It put chills up down the back of your spine, really. Some of you I know have seen it, and you enjoyed it as well. But those founding fathers, it tells a little bit of the story about some of the things that they went through, and preachers of the gospel went through, and Bible-believing people went through. There was a lot of sacrifice that was paid to bring about this nation. And it is such a shame to me that so few, at least of the younger generation, are willing to sacrifice for our nation today. Now, there are some, and I thank God for every one of them. But we've raised a generation of individuals that really feel like everything should be owed to them. Everything should be given to them. That's not the way life works. I'm one of those old timers, I guess, that believes that you should earn it. You should work for it. It shouldn't be just handed to you. There should be some sacrifice involved. There was, of course, by our founding fathers. There have been through the years by hundreds of thousands, yea, millions of military personnel. And if called upon, each and every one of us should be willing to sacrifice for our nation. So again, when I see the stars and stripes, I think about America. I think about our liberties and freedoms that we all enjoy. I think about the sacrifices that have been made to bring this nation about and to keep us free. I often wonder, right along with that, how much longer will we be free? Amen. I don't like having to tell you this, but there are many individuals, even within our own government, who are socialists and communists and have an agenda to destroy the liberties and freedoms that we have here. Here's a little secret for you. You probably know this, many of you do. But when somebody calls themselves a democratic socialist, like the mayor of New York, it's another term for communist. The American Communist Party changed their name, changed their title to Democratic Socialists. These people aren't for America. They're not for our freedoms and liberties. They're not for us being one nation under God. They're not for us being the shining city on a hill, as Ronald Reagan, our president of years ago, said we are supposed to be. They're not for that. And there's a lot of individuals in our government today and in America today who are on board with that kind of thinking. You may not agree with me, and that's okay, but I think that's why a lot of them have Trump derangement syndrome. It doesn't matter what he's for, they're against. Because he's for America. And he wants to see us prosper and do well and be that bright, shining city on a hill. They don't. And that's why they oppose him at every chance that they get. Please understand, I'm not standing up here saying that he's perfect, because there's plenty of things about Donald Trump that I don't care for. One of the things is I wish sometimes he'd just be quiet. It was either this last week or the week before, he said some things. And I looked at Sarah and I said, you know what he's doing? He's poking the bear. I wish he'd stop doing that. I mean, he has enough enemies without doing that. So please, sir, I pray for you and I love you in the Lord, but I wish you'd stop doing that. Don't do anything to irritate the other side. They're already irritated. Anyway, when I see our flag, I think about America. I think about liberties and freedoms that we all enjoy. I think about sacrifice. I also think, number four, about God's blessings. This verse that I chose for our text this morning, Psalm 33 and verse 12, says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." The verse says that the nation that has God as their Lord is going to be blessed. The verse reminds us, I think, of what was true when our nation was founded. The vast majority of our founding fathers believed in God. I'm not saying that every one of them were born-again Christians, because some of them were not. Some of them were deists, all right? But they believed in God, and many of them believed in the principles of Scripture, which is why a lot of our founding documents reference Scripture. Did you know that the founding documents for every state in our union mention God? Amen. And God's oversight and providence watching over us and those kinds of things? Those terms are found in every one of the founding documents of every state in our union, including Wisconsin. Wonder how long it's been since our governor has read that. I'm guessing it's been a while. I didn't bring it with me to the pulpit, but I have it stored in my computer. Every one of our state's beginnings has that in there. And the verse again reminds us that as long as the nation has God as their Lord, they'll be blessed. And I really do believe that our founding fathers, the vast majority of them, realized that
This nation cannot rise, let alone stand, without God's help. This was brought out in that film that I was referencing, that I believe it was Benjamin Franklin, wasn't it, who said that, you know, we need God's help. We need to stop and pray. We need to seek His guidance. Yes. Yes. If a sparrow cannot fall without His notice, how can a nation rise without His aid? You know, I don't have it all memorized, but it's those kinds of thoughts, those kinds of words. They knew that. They believed that. That's why they used the Bible as their source for most all of the laws that we have, and the Constitution and the amendments to our Constitution and the Bill of Rights and all of that. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And of course it goes on to say, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. Here's what I was thinking of and putting some thoughts on paper for this morning. Why did God choose to bless America the way He has? You know, this July 4th, we will celebrate 250 years as a nation. Why? So many great countries of the past didn't make it much past 200 years. Many did not even make it that long. Why has America been blessed the way it has for 250 years? You know, this is going to be a great year of celebration. Probably the negative naysayers will be out there as well. But I hope we all get to enjoy a lot of celebration for God's blessings upon America for 250 years. And I was thinking about this when I was writing the message. Why? Why, Lord, have You blessed us the way You have? For some reason, God has chosen to put His hand of blessing upon this nation like no other. I don't know that I have the reason. I'm glad that He has, though. Things are expensive, aren't they? Groceries are expensive. It wasn't all that long ago. I guess it would be probably in the 90s. I'm thinking, Sarah, about 94, 95. I remember going to the grocery store, and we didn't have much money at the time. I was in between churches, and we didn't have much money in our bank account. And so we went grocery shopping, and we were pinching pennies. I mean, I'm pretty sure the pennies hurt. They were being pinched so much. And we kept us things as just as cheap as we possibly could, and we always, you know, were trying to buy store brand as inexpensive as we possibly could. And I remember walking out of the grocery store and thinking we did a good job, because we spent, at that time, we still had three of the girls, I think, at home. All four of them still?
94.
Yeah, that's right, 94, 95. We still had all the girls still at home, all four of them. And we bought groceries for our entire family at this grocery store for, it was under $50. No, it's true. It's true. I'm not lying. If I tell you something else true today, I'll make sure and note that as well. But it's true. It's true. It was under $50. Do you remember this? It was probably the one and only time we did that. And it was skimping everywhere we possibly could. And it was just for a week. Just to get us by for that week. And I'll be honest with you, it wasn't anything glamorous. We didn't have steak. We didn't have lobster. We didn't have stuff like that. It was very bland. I'll tell you that. My wife did a good job preparing us meals with that $50 worth of food. But you can't walk in the door today without spending $50. They charge you $50 just for breathing the air in the aisle. I'm amazed. We go in there, just the two of us, and we go in there and get groceries for 2 weeks, usually 2 weeks, and we walk out with a few bags, and it's $200. And it doesn't have any lobster in there or any steak in there either. Now, not everything is a store brand, but I mean, that's just how it is. Those are the times we live in. I realize there's others of you here that maybe remember it cheaper than I, but the cheapest gas that I remember is $27.9. And I remember when you could fill up your whole tank for $5. Can you imagine going to the grocery store? I'm sorry, going to the gas station today and putting $5 worth of gas in your car? You'd be lucky to get home. I don't need to go on. Everything is that way. Groceries, gas, clothing. I mean, everything. It's all expensive. Rent, mortgages, building materials. Doesn't matter what you buy. Everything is so expensive and seems to go up every day. But having said that, God often reminds me, but Mark, you were able to pay for it. And I have to quickly say, Lord, I'm sorry for complaining at the high cost of the things that we have. Because you've provided enough that I can still pay for my groceries, I can still buy gas, I can still buy a suit or a suit coat or a tie, or I can still pay for those things. So you've blessed me. You've taken care of me. And it's God's goodness. And I still have these liberties. And I still have these freedoms. And I still am able to, you know, drive my car. And I'm still able to do all these things. Where do all these blessings come from? They come from God. And James reminds us of that, doesn't he? The book of James says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Everything we have here, everything we enjoy here, all the prosperity, all the materialism, all those things that you and I get to enjoy, that many nations of the world have no idea how blessed we are, it all comes from God Almighty. And so when I think about the flag, yes, I think about America. I think about liberties and freedoms. I think about sacrifice. But I also think about God's blessings, God's goodness to us as a nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance. I have one other thought I want to give you. When I see the flag, I think of America, I think of liberty and freedom, I think of sacrifice, I think of God's blessings, and then I bring this last thought to your remembrance. I also think of gratitude. Gratitude. I believe that each one of us should be thankful and grateful for everything we have here in America. Shame on us for complaining. Shame on us. I'm talking about humanity, for being bitter and whining about what we don't have. Even the poorest in this congregation has more than much of the world. I guarantee you, you have clothes you don't wear. Many of us have more than one pair of shoes. How many can you wear at once? You understand what I'm saying? We have so much. Many of us, maybe most of us, we go home today and you have to wonder, what are we going to cook for lunch today? Because there's many options, both in your refrigerator and cupboard and also out there in the city or a city nearby. We're not wondering if we can eat today. We're wondering what we're going to eat today. Again, I'm just saying we're blessed. The things that we have should bring about gratitude. We should be thankful for everything we have here in America. We should also be thankful for everyone who helped to make it possible. Thankful for everything, thankful and grateful for everyone who helped to make it possible. And most of all, our thanksgiving and our gratitude should be heavenward. Because without God, none of this that I've talked about today could happen. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. We need to be thankful to the Lord. We need to be grateful. And we ought to thank Him each and every day. One little article I'm going to read, and then I'll close in prayer. This little article was written by a man named Thomas E. Wicks, Sr. And the article is entitled, Our Flag Speaks. I was born on June 14th, 1777. I am more than just a cloth shaped into design. I am the refuge of the world's oppressed people. I am the silent sentinel of freedom. I am the inspiration for which American patriots gave their lives and fortunes. I have led your sons and daughters into countless battles against tyranny and oppression. I walk in silence with each of your honored dead to their final resting place beneath the silent white crosses row upon row. I have flown through peace and war, strife and prosperity, and amidst it all, I have been respected. My red stripes symbolize the blood spilled in defense of this glorious nation. My white stripes signify the burning tears shed by Americans who lost their sons. My blue field is indicative of God's heaven under which I fly. My stars clustered together symbolize 50 separate states, separate but united as one for God and country. Old Glory is my nickname, and proudly I wave on high. Honor me, respect me, defend me with your lives and your fortunes. Never let my enemies tear me down from my lofty position. Keep alight the fires of patriotism. Strive earnestly for the spirit of democracy. Worship eternal God and keep his commandments. And I shall remain the bulwark of peace and freedom for all of mankind. What a great reminder. This little message that I put together with the Lord's help, I just simply entitled, When I See Our Flag. I hope it's been an encouragement and a blessing today. And I hope you appreciate your flag and your country. And I hope you also appreciate most of all your loving Heavenly Father who made it all possible. Let's stand together, shall we? Heads bowed, eyes closed, and no one's looking. When I see our flag. Heavenly Father, thank you for our flag and what it stands for and what it represents. Thank you for all those who sacrificed to make it possible. And Lord, thank you most of all for your hand of blessing that brought it about and keeps it alive and free. Help us to appreciate what we have and to be grateful and express that gratitude to you often. Help us to also express gratitude to those in our military who serve even to this very day. Thank you for the liberties and freedoms that we have. Help us to do a little bit less complaining and a little bit more gratitude. Bless, please, this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.